Keith has a scripture he wants to share.
Yeah, we all know the story when Jesus raised Lazarus. So bear with me. I'm going to read you some scriptures there. Starts in John 11, verse 32, I'm going to start. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." You can see how Jesus loved Lazarus. He was weeping over him. And he could have saved him. Days before that, he could have done that, but it was all for a reason. Then Jesus came groaning himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone laid against it. Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Martha and his sister said he was dead, "Lord, by this time there is a stench after 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that you would believe me if you would come and see the glory of God?" Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because the people who are standing by, I said this, that you may believe that you have sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who was dead came forth bound in foot in grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in clothes. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." And the Pharisees and Sadducees said, "Could not this guy, Jesus, have saved him?" Yes, he could have. But it was all for a reason. That Jesus wanted the people to see that God had sent him to do these things. And I believe in... And I was reading this, and the Lord showed me these scriptures. I believe there's some people here that need to listen to the words, "Come forth." He's calling for some of you to come forth. You may not believe that he's going to heal you, but he's saying, "Come forth today. Come forth to me, and I will show you what I can do for you, for your health, prosperity, your marriage, everything. Come forth. Come out of your shell."
Keith was sharing about Lazarus and that there are people that need to come forth that are wrapped in burial clothes. And I want to make a little bit more of a I want to illuminate it a little bit more. There are times, there are areas, there's attitudes in our lives that sometimes we feel trapped in our past. And we are wrapped with layer upon layer of the death of life that we've lived. Things over years and years of how we've lived and done in the world or in opposition to God that have wrapped us in burial clothes. It's death wrapped around us. And we're so wrapped up in it that we can't move. We don't feel like we have any freedom, that you can't get free. All you can do is just be. And Jesus weeps over us because of our condition, because of where we're at. He weeps because he knows we're so much more. He knows what he's purchased. He knows what he's given us. And he wants to set us free. He wants us to be free. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. Put your name in there. And he's saying, come forth. Wes, come forth. No, I'm using you as an illustration. You don't actually have to come up here. But the point is that we get wrapped up in these things in our lives. And we need to hear that Jesus is calling us to life, not to death. He called us to be set free from the death of the life that we lived, so that we can live in the newness of life with him. What are these things? Yes, they're the things. There's the things of the world, the things of death, the attitudes, the preconceived notions, the things that people have laid on us, the old things that we've done that we can never really seem to get away from, you know, the nicknames, the oh yeah, I remember so and so, yeah, he did that one. Remember that? Yeah. Those things we just can never seem to get rid of. That is the death cloth that holds us. And God wants us to be free, to not be bound by that anymore. Loose him and set him free. When we come to Christ, we come to a new creation. The old things are passed away, but we never seem to be able to forget the old things. We never seem to be able to let them go. I mean, I even have things. There's times, especially at night. Night is a terrible time to just sit there and let your mind wander. Well, for me, I don't know. For you guys, maybe it's fine. But I've never been a person that just lays down and goes immediately to sleep. Even when I was young, well, when I was a teenager, when I was little, I used to fall asleep anywhere. My mom will tell you. They would find me draped over a couch asleep. I would fall asleep. Boom. Of course, I did get up and wander around in the middle of the night, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I've always kind of had a hard time. I remember as being a young man, it would take me at least an hour of laying there to fall asleep. Except for when I was in boot camp. It was immediate. There, you didn't have time, just sleep. And that probably had to do with exhaustion, but you know, it's just like my mind would wander and wander and wander. And of course, my past comes up. My history, the things that I've done, the things that I've been through, the things that I wish I wouldn't have, or I wish I would have. Well, that was dumb. I don't know why I ever did that. Well, oh, I really wish I would have done this. The things would have been so much better. I don't know. Can anybody relate? You know, and this is like the devil loves to take this time and mess with our brains. And he'll remind us, oh yeah, remember you used to be like this? Remember you used to do that? Remember this? Remember that? And he'll sit there and he'll mess with us. You know what? We need to realize, we need to understand that we are no longer that. We are no longer that. For we are new creations in Christ Jesus. New creations. It didn't say a new you. It said a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is passed away. Behold, all things are new. When we're in Christ, we're a new creation. Well, you know, I've always done this in my life. I've always struggled with this. No. No. Your dead body did that. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you need to begin to identify with the new you in Christ. We have a hard time doing that because we know ourselves and they're constantly being reinforced. And you know, if you start to change, you know what? I can guarantee you, I can tell you with absolute certainty, the devil will bring somebody by to say, oh, I remember when you... Oh, the devil has agents out there. And sometimes he just has somebody who makes a foolish comment. They don't mean ill. They just ignorantly spoke. You know, even brothers and sisters in the Lord can sometimes be used of the devil. That doesn't make them, you know, Satan's agent. It just, it means they made a mistake. God loves us, and he wants the best for us. And we need to work towards identifying with who he says we are in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that means we have access to everything in Christ. As we saw Christ, so are we. James says this about the double-minded man. Actually, let's see if I can find it real quick and give you the scripture reference. Can you tell I'm going off script? Thank you. Where is it? What verse? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have it highlighted. That's why I didn't see it. I was skipping over the highlights. Why, I don't know. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various troubles, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This double man is unstable in all his ways. It's like looking into a mirror and seeing yourself and then turning around and going away and not knowing what kind of person you are. Sometimes we're like that. We need to look into the law. We need to look at that mirror. Looking at Jesus is looking at a mirror of who we are as born-again believers. When you're a born-again believer and Jesus Christ is on the inside of you, you look at the Word and you see yourself. When you read about Jesus, you see yourself. Well, I don't look like that. But that's who you are. It's now time to conform. But I don't behave that way. But that's what's in you. That's who you are. But I don't feel like that. It doesn't matter. That's who you are. If you don't believe it, guess what? You're walking in deception, because the Word says that we are born of the seed, born of his seed. Whose seed? Jesus. If you're born, if something is born of an apple seed, what's it going to be? An apple tree. What does an apple tree produce? Does it produce pears? Grapes? Oranges? Walnuts? No, it produces apples. We are the same seed of Jesus. Jesus is planted in our hearts. Now we are a Jesus tree. We're a Jesus tree. And you know what a Jesus tree produces? Jesus kind of fruit. What kind of fruit is that? The fruit of the Spirit. Well, what's that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. Well, I don't have very much of that. We need to work on your Jesus tree. You know, maybe you need some pruning. Maybe you need some fertilizer. Maybe you just need some tending to. You need some attention. We are made in his image. He is the expressed image of the Father. That makes us like God. God is full of love. He's full of compassion. He's full of kindness. You know what? He provides for the just and unjust. Did you know that? You know, the systems that we have in place, the food that grows from the ground is not just meant to supply those that believe in God, it's meant to supply everyone. Sometimes we can get a little bit of a closed mindset and say, well, yeah, you know, God's healing and deliverance and his miracles are for believers. Yes. And the world. And the world. We need to realize that God wants us to give it away. You know, Peter, first notable miracle in the New Testament church. Peter's walking along. He's going into the temple, and there's a guy asking for alms. And Peter says, look upon us. He says, gold and silver do I not have, but that which I have, I give. Rise up in Jesus' name. And the man set free. What I have. He didn't say, you know, the power of God comes down upon you. He says, I have it. I'm giving it. I have it. I'm giving it. He knew what he had. We don't know what we have a lot of times. Did you know you have peace? You can give peace away. Did you know you have joy? You can give joy away. You know you have love? You can give love away. Do you know you have healing? Do you know you have miracles? Do you know that the word and the truth of God resides into you, that you can get a word of prophecy to somebody and speak the very words of God into their life? That is you. That is who you are. You may not feel like it. I don't care. That's what the word says. Your feelings are irrelevant in this. Jesus has called you to be like him. He died to set you free. He called the Israelites out of Egypt not to be Egypt-like, but to be God-like. He wanted them to be conformed into the image of who he was, to worship him and be like him. But they kept wanting to go back to Egypt. Well, I kind of like the things that are back there. It was nice. It was comfortable. I knew what I was doing. I knew how it worked. I think I can actually go into my message now. So, part of the reason that I feel compelled to go through the life of Jesus is because how do we know who we are if we don't know who he is? Right? So, Matthew 5. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. You know, this is the first part of Jesus' ministry, you know, first year within his ministry. And he's going around, he's been doing miracles, people are coming to him. And so the crowds are there, and he goes up on the mountain and begins to preach to them. He made himself, he used the stage God had given him. He got up on the mountain and he started ministering to the people. And Jesse talked about the law. Did you finish up with the righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I need to jump off from where he stopped. And I'm going to pick up in... Yeah, let's just start in 17. I'm going to run through this. Do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, not one tittle, not one by no means passes from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of these commandments is the least. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said. Okay, Jesus just said, your righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. The Pharisees considered themselves the most righteous. Everybody else considered them the most righteous. And then he says, you have heard it said that those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come offer the gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in your way, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer who will throw you into prison. Surely I say to you, you will by no means get out until you've paid the last penny. And then the next one is the adultery. You have heard it said that those who are old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever has looked at a woman with lust for her in his heart has already committed adultery in his heart. For if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you to enter, for you to perish with your members than for you to be whole and cast into hell. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. This seems pretty morbid, Jesus. I don't know why you're saying all this. Cut it off and cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you to enter for one. I'm trying to do this too fast. For you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Okay, so here's the thing. Remember, Jesus is talking about righteousness, exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees. And they say the Pharisees are the most righteous. And he says, listen, this is what I'm talking about. It's not just what you do. It's what's in your heart. Your righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, and the only way to do that is to have heart righteousness. So if you have hate in your heart that's considered murder, you've already committed murder. You know what? You know what the punishment for murder is? Death. You get stoned to death. You know what the penalty for adultery is? Death. If you've thought it, you've done it, therefore you're dead. If you think that by any means, any possible way, that you in your own self can attain to righteousness in the sight of God, you're fooling yourself. And that's what God's saying. That's what Jesus is saying here. You're kidding yourself. You can't do it. No man can. What happens when you're trying to be righteous in God's eyes and God raises the standard? The people are thinking, okay, here's the standard. And Jesus says, nope, that's the standard up there. And you look up and you go, how is anyone going to do that? What does this force you to do? God have mercy. God have mercy. God forgive me. I have no hope. I can't do it. Help me. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you are proud and you think you can do it on your own, these words are for you. Oh, you think, you good? Uh-huh, sure. Let's take a look at the word. But if you humble yourself, all the grace, all the compassion, all the love that is written in this flows to you. Because there is only one hope that any of us have, and that's Jesus. You can be the most, you can live your life the most holiest person in this world, and you still are a filthy, disgusting sinner in the sight of God. If you want to trust in your own righteousness, because it's by grace that we are saved, not of works. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's laying it out. Because you know there are Pharisees among these people, and you know the Jewish mindset. Listen, you see the Jewish mindset today. You got to do the law. You got to, boom, boom, boom. I see Jewish mindset in believers. Oh, We got to do all the feast days. We got to follow all these things, and we got to get back to, we got to follow the scriptures. And that way, you know, the Jewish Old Testament, because that's how you please God. No, no, they didn't please God. Even he said, your sacrifices are disgusting to me. I don't want them. He doesn't want your self-righteousness. He wants your faith. He wants you to believe and trust and rely on him. In context, that's what this scripture set is talking about. You know, if there's anything that you're looking to that's keeping you from God, he says it's better for you to lose that. If you've got friendships in your life that cause you to stray from God, it's better that you never have that relationship again, that you never meet with that person again, than that you should enter into hell apart from God, than to walk, to suffer the loss of that thing that's precious to you. I have not yet met a minister who has not had to sacrifice something personal to themselves in order to walk in what God has called them to. Because we need to die to ourselves. Those are old things. Those are things that used to be who we were. But now we're a new creation. We have to cut those clothes off, those grave clothes, and cast them from us, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. And it's only his righteousness that is accepted in the eyes of God. You know, God could have made it Abel, could have made it. God could have caused us to be righteous by the law. He could have said, because it says in the scripture, Paul says, he says, if it were possible, if it were capable that one might be righteous by the law, then we would be using the law. But it's not possible. It can't happen. And God, you know, he likes to be efficient. You ever notice creation? It's very efficient. It works really well. You take this little tiny seed and you put it in the ground. Poof! You got this massive tree that creates fruit that has little seeds in it. That's pretty efficient. Man still hasn't figured out how God creates seeds. Still trying to figure out how does that work? They only take what God's already created and manipulate it. Yeah. That made me lose my train of thought. God produces. He's efficient. He's efficient. That's where I was going. And he said, you know what? The law's not efficient. I know. I myself will come. I will send myself. My word, Jesus, will come, and he will live as a man. He will exist as a man, and he will exist righteous before me, and he will die, and he will be my seed, that all those who believe on him shall be born of that seed. You know, when you take a seed, you put it in the ground, and it dies. It produces. It produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. You know what? I know Jesus' seed is very potent. And it reproduces. And it reproduces Jesus' trees. Over and over again. You know what? He wants you to produce. He wants you to grow and have this fruit that then people take. They take that fruit. And then they because they take that fruit, they see Jesus and they receive Jesus, and then that seed is planted in their lives and they start to grow. And they mature and they produce fruit. And they share Jesus. And somebody takes Jesus and they take it in their heart. And Jesus grows inside of them and they become a tree. God is very efficient. But it takes us choosing to look at what Jesus is saying as to who we are. His righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. You know that when we receive Jesus into our heart, we receive a new nature. I remember a story of somebody who was a heathen. We'll just say a heathen. And they partied and they drank and they had all kinds of fun. And they had gone to this meeting and they heard about Jesus and they said, you know what? I like this. I'm gonna receive Jesus. And they received Jesus. And the next night they went out partying. And then they came back and they said, what did you do to me? You broke me. I can't have any fun anymore. Because there's a new nature inside of that individual. The law of God is now written on their hearts. The righteousness of God now resides inside of us. That which was once exciting and fun in the world now no longer holds what it once did. And if sometimes, you know, there's times when we get snared by our own desires and passions to do the things in the world. However, we have the consequence of our conscience then saying, that's not you. That's not you. You're not a gossip. You're not a murmurer. You're not a backbiter. You're not unfaithful. You're not a murderer. Remember, hate is murder. You're not a murderer. I don't care what the Democrats do. You're not a murderer. No, I'm actually pointing out something important here. Be careful. Look at the world right now. Hate is abundant. And we're wondering why there's riots and why there's killings. It's just the outpouring of what's in them. That's not us. We don't need to enter into the things of the world. Hatred, anger, violence, unrestrained desire. Having those things which don't belong to us is lust. If it's not ours, it's not ours. We don't need to desire it. If you want something, you have not because you ask not. Don't desire what somebody else has. Be content in what God has given you. And let Him give you more. We need to cut off these grave clothes so that we can be free. To be who God has called us to be. No longer hindered by our past. No longer hindered by the ideas that others place upon us. But knowing that we are as Jesus said we are. His righteousness. You are much more than you appear. You're much more than you think you are. You are much more than you think you are. And it starts with you understanding, wait, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. That's not me. That's not who I am. And when you realize that's not who you are, it's pretty easy. It's easier to walk away from it. No, I'm not doing that. You know what? I'm not a busybody. I don't need to be involved in other people's business. You know what? I'm not full of anger. That's not me. That's some grave clothes I need to cut off. That's not me anymore. I am patient and kind and loving. What does the word say about you? Well, I don't know. What does it say about Jesus? That's what it says about you. What does it say about Jesus? That's what it says about you. That's who you are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've placed the seed of Christ in our heart and that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the old has passed away and we have become new. Father, some of us struggle with the newness and the oldness. Lord, help us to be freed from these grave clothes. Help us to see more clearly who we are in you. That to see you is to see who we are. And to begin to recognize that in ourselves. Lord, I pray that your word would have more power in us. More, it would be more forefront in our minds and in our lives. That we would begin to be more conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. So that we can give you glory and honor. And that your name is glorified. And we ask that you would help us. Please, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. As the sower sows the word, the enemy comes to steal the word. Guard the word. And don't let the enemy steal it from you. Hold it close into your heart. And let that percolate this week. Think about who you are in Christ. What has God called you to be? The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness. And that whenever you enter into a situation, you keep that. You hold it. You don't let the devil take that away from you. You say, no, this is mine. I belong to God and this is my promise. You can't have it. Because the enemy will come to try to steal it. Don't let him have it. And if you have to, phone a friend. Hallelujah. You are blessed. Have a great week.